You are listening to a podcast of the Geek.io Media Network. For all of our shows and more, visit geek-io.net. And to help support the network, head over to patreon.com/geek.io.
Hey there, everybody. Welcome back to Life of an Accounting Droid. I'm your host, as always, Neil, bringing you episode number 68. So, got a pretty straightforward episode for you guys this week. Not too much in the news. Got a feature review. Usual list of what I watched, and then I'll have a film review, Star Wars profile, and the quick You Can Relax segment. So I will jump right into it. So this week's theme is Incoterms. What this is that it's a list of published shipping terms used by published by the International Chamber of Commerce that defines the latest trades taking place and how and when the transfer of risk takes place. They are updated periodically to better define the latest trends, add new shipping terms and things like that. So generally you'll use this when you're trying to define, like I said, when the transfer of risk takes place. So when you ship product, who owns the product and how long do they own that product when it is shipped? So is it does the purchaser take responsibility when it leaves the seller's warehouse? Does the seller own the goods until it reaches its destination? Does it happen when it reaches a particular shipping company's warehouse? And so on and so forth. Shipping terms like FOB, destination, and shipping point are included in this list. So it pretty much tells you that, hey, this is when that transfer risk takes place. So a product is lost or missing or damaged. Where do you need to start looking in order to properly find out and file claims and take responsibility for that product? Doing a quick search for Incoterms cheat sheet will bring up a list of those terms, so, or the most commonly used shipping terms, so you can easily have that printed out and available to you if you need a reference guide to use. So with that being said, I'll jump right into this week's tech news. So to start it off, T-Mobile added a special promotion. It originally started for its T-Mobile One or for signing up with a T-Mobile One plan, but now is available, I think, for all plans, where you can get a $325 promo credit via your monthly bill credit for 24 months for bringing an unlocked Google Pixel or Pixel XL to their network. So it's a pretty good deal if you are thinking of switching to T-Mobile or are thinking of buying that Pixel, but you find the unlocked price too high, then this should definitely help to offset the credit and help bring your monthly bill down a little bit by doing so. Google added commands for the movie Fantastic Beasts and where to find them via Google Now. So you can now do a search for OK Google and then adding Lumos or Nox to turn your flashlight on or off. ZTE announced a new device this week called the Cymbal T, the CYMBAL-T. It's a 3.5-inch flip phone device with a 1.1 GHz Snapdragon 210 processor, 1 GB of RAM, 8 GB of storage, which supports up to 32 GB of via SD card support, LTE, a 5-megapixel rear camera, 2-megapixel front camera, and runs Android 5.1. So if you want a smartphone but in a flip phone style format, then check that out. Huawei announced the Mate 9 this week. It's an Android 7-based device running or with 4 GB of RAM, a Kirin 960 processor. So I think it was 4 cores at 2.4 GHz and I think 4 cores at 1.8 GHz or so. Don't quote me on that, but somewhere around that range. And it has a 20-megapixel rear camera, 8-megapixel front camera, 4,000 mAh battery, USB Type-C charging, Bluetooth 4.2, 64 gigs of storage with expandable storage support and dual SIM support, so definitely a high-end device. Google announced this week that they're starting to roll out the RCS upgrade from SMS. So this is the update to SMS that adds support for higher resolution photo sharing, group messages, and read receipt support, and more. The rollout is starting with Sprint, with more carriers coming in the next year. If you are on Sprint, the update will first reflect in the Google Messenger app for text messaging. And finally, Jide released or announced the Remix IO Plus device. It's the Kickstarter project that they announced a while back, which is basically an Android 7 powered TV and gaming box. It was going to cost at the moment $130. It has 4K video at 60 frames per second resolution, USB 3, 10 bit color, gigabit Ethernet port, and 32 gigs of storage. So definitely, if you want an Android powered TV box, and it is worth checking out. So that's all there is for that. So with that, I'll jump into this week's feature review. So the feature review for this week is a feature that was added to Pocket Cast, version 6.2 for iOS and version 6.0 for Android, and it's called Pocket Cast Lists. So what this lets you do is it now easily lets you share the podcast that you subscribe to via a URL to or however you want, so whether it's by SMS, WhatsApp, Facebook, Google+, Twitter, email, or if you want a permanent web URL, you can select the podcast you're subscribed to, whether it's all of them or select ones. You can basically pick them one by one or do select all, and then hit share, and it'll bring up your Android share menu. I'm not sure how it comes up on the iOS side, but I'm sure it's something similar. And it lets you share the podcast you're subscribed to via that URL. So it's definitely an easy way to help create custom lists. So if you want to create your own categories, or if you want to recommend podcasts you're listening to someone who is new to podcasting, then this is definitely an easy way to go. When you do share, or when you do create that, or when the URL that you're creating is generated, it will bring over the album art for the episodes and have three lists, one or three buttons. One is a button for Pocket Cast, so if the other person is using Pocket Cast as their podcast client, then it will allow them to open it directly there. If they don't use Pocket Cast, but they do use, let's say, on iOS, if they're using the default stock podcast client, then clicking the iTunes button will open that. And then there's the RSS link, so if they're using another podcast client, they can easily get that podcast in that other client. So it's definitely worth checking out, of course, for podcast clients. But if you want to share that your podcast with other people, then it is definitely a pretty nifty feature. So as I said, it's available for Pocket Cast version 6 for Android and version 6.2 for iOS, so definitely worth checking out. And I'll have a link in the show notes to the video preview so you guys can see how it looks and how it works and how that menu comes up. And it does have a mobile friendly UI, so if you share that link with someone who wants to check that, whatever you're listening to, whatever podcast you're subscribed to on the go, then it is easy to check it out on the go as well. So with that, I will jump right into this week's entertainment news. So as far as news goes, only a couple of things to note. The first is that the Fuller House Season 2 trailer was released, so it's available on YouTube, so you guys can check that out. And a new Wonder Woman trailer was released, so a little bit more on her motivations for helping out mankind, and more on the backstory as far as the Amazonian society and culture. As far as what I watched, I continued watching Westworld, so season 1, episode 5, Contra Paso. I had a chance to watch the original and new version of MacGyver, season 1, episode 6. So in the original series, it was Trumbo's World, and in the new series, it is Wrench. I also had a chance to watch Gotham, season 3, episode 7, Red Queen, and Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D., season 4, episode 6, The Good Samaritan. Otherwise, I am working on rounding out Season 5 of Stargate SG-1. I'm continuing to watch Season 5 of American Horror Story, so American Horror Story Hotel, but it's kind of slow this season, so it's taking my time watching episode by episode, but hopefully by the end of the month I'll be all caught up on that. So with that, I will jump right into this week's film review, and for this week I had a chance to rewatch Star Wars, A Clone Wars, so I got another 30-day promotion for Netflix, so I reactivated that. I was browsing around. I'm actually planning on watching Stranger Things in the coming week or two, so that'll probably be a review that I'll plan for next week, but As far as Star Wars The Clone Wars, I had a chance to rewatch it and provide some thoughts. So, the movie released in the United States on August 15th, 2008. It has a runtime of 98 minutes. A summary of the movie is Anakin Skywalker and Ahsoka Tano must rescue the kidnapped son of Jabba the Hutt, but political intrigue complicates their mission. The movie got a IMDb score of 58% and it has a Rotten Tomatoes audience score of 89%. So for the most part, people liked it. Critics, I want to assume, I'm not sure, but with IMDb and Rotten Tomatoes as average, it was still pretty favorable. But overall, I did enjoy the movie, since it is early on in the graphics, and if you watch the Star Wars Clone Wars TV series, you see how they were able to progress the graphics on that over time. But the movie itself introduced a youngling's early days of fighting in the Clone Wars, so we kind of see the effect it has on young Jedi fighting in the war. We also get a good early look at galactic politics versus the war effort in the Star Wars universe. And then the series as well adds on to that as well. So we also, and then we also get to see Palpatine's hand more and more in the Star Wars universe and how he manipulated everyone into being able to take over the universe. We also learned that Obi-Wan Kenobi met Jabba the Hutt prior to his solitude on Tatooine. So he did actually, so when he says that this is a place of villainous and treachery and all of that, he knew what he was talking about. So we know that he crossed paths with Jabba at an early point in his life. The major issue I had with the film, though, is how does a youngling who hasn't had any combat experience take on three Magna Guards and win? So one of the things that bothers me is that obviously the Magna Guards are very capable robots, androids, and all that. They have General Grievous' learning algorithms and heuristics. They're trained in all seven forms of lightsaber combat. And we have Ahsoka Tano on her first mission, outside, as far as I remember and as far as we know, from her time in the Jedi temples. And obviously Jedi are to be not to be taken lightly, but as a youngling with what we would assume as who has minimal combat experience, how does she take on droids that are that skilled? So it's kind of bugged me. We do see that it took a lot out of her, so it is possible that because she is trained and she is able to take on robots, and they are only robots, but it seemed like a big stretch. Maybe if it was two instead of three, maybe it would have been better, or maybe because the Magna Guards are still early, maybe they're new Magna Guards and they haven't had full heuristic, or their programming hasn't had full combat experience that she was able to win, but it seemed kind of a stretch with what information we had. But overall, it was a good movie. I enjoyed, it was a good lead into the TV series, which was also very enjoyable, and from what I understand, it did receive generally positive ratings as well. So it's kind of sucked that they ended that series. I kind of wanted it to go more or go on longer, but we do have Star Wars Rebels, which is actually also a good series on TV right now. But on a related note, for this week's Star Wars profile, I wanted to talk a little bit more about Magna Guards, especially since we get their first visual introduction in Star Wars or Clone Wars, and then we also see them in the live action version via Star Wars Episode 3 Revenge of the Sith. So Magna Guards were otherwise known, or what their long name was, self-motivating heuristically programmed combat droids. Their official task was bodyguards to General Grievous, but were also assigned specific missions as he saw fit. They were constructed by Hollow One Industries, the same company that put together General Grievous himself, and stood at 6.5 feet tall. The Magna Guards were trained in all seven classical Jedi forms of lightsaber combat, and were staffed with lightsaber-resistant electro staff, so they were very formidable robots and very highly programmed robots. And the heuristics part of it means that they were able to learn over time and become more smarter, more advanced robots. So basically General Grievous before without the living organic part of him, so they were able to grow and learn, but still didn't have that bridge between droids and sentients. But they provided a definite advantage as they provided it. They had additional combat skills, even though more formidable Jedi could take them out as well. But that's really all there is for that. They were otherwise also able to pilot StarCraft and perform various missions as they were programmed to do and instructed to do. So kind of think of a mix between R2-D2 and C-3PO, but with more combat abilities on their side. So that's really all there is for that. So with that, the You Can Relax segment for this week is pretty simple. It's just a quick note to say Happy Diwali. So being an Indian, it is of importance to me. So last week was the Indian New Year. Just a quick overview for those of you who don't know, but it is the Indian Festival of Lights that represents the victory of good over bad, evil or light over dark, good versus evil, and that sort of thing. So it represents just a general victory of good. So candles are lit for an approximate period of 10 days in the month of October. So it represents just being good, being true to yourself, and being able to defeat darkness and evil in whatever form it may take in each and every person's life. But that is all for this particular episode. So if you have any questions, comments, concerns, anything like that, you can always email me at headphonesneil@yahoo.com. You can find me on Twitter at PatelN01. Reviews can be found on YouTube at youtube.com/PatelN01. Prior episodes and all related links to subscribe, Twitter, the YouTube reviews, and all of that can be found at PatelN01. This show and any show on the Geek.io network can be found at geek-io.net. But that is all for this particular episode. Thanks for tuning in, and until next time.